Blog Talk Radio.
What dear friendship I hail from, North or South, or from the East or West. My heart is filled with love for all of these. I only know I swell with pride and deep within my breast I thrill to see, O glory faint, the breeze.
Against the Armenians. You know, it was bad enough that the Turks tried to wipe them out
exterminate them in this after World War One. The horrible trek they drove them, where the Turkish army was dominant, they drove the Armenians out, and a lot of people, women were raped, children were ripped out of their bellies. Horrible, horrible things were done to the Armenians. And Sarari was one of the great writers. He's dead now, of course. And then Richard Basehart, who had a great radio voice, a great actor's voice, a film I highly recommend if you want to understand the rights of military servicemen, which are very dear to my heart, something I worked on for 15 years at least, in one case, the Steve Nery case. But there, near the end of World War II, the Allies in Europe decided it was a lot of young Wehrmacht who were deserting or surrendering. And Allied intelligence came up with this plan to turn these guys into, send them back into Germany for them to collect information. And Oscar Werner starred in a film called, the World War II film, I highly recommend it, Richard Basehart and Oscar Werner. And those guys who were captured by the Wehrmacht, they were shot on the spot. Then we have Alan J. Lerner, My Fair Lady, he was born today. James Coburn, we have quite a few, a couple of actors that came out of Nebraska. He was born today. And then media person, Dan Rather, CBS, some controversy about him. Then the notorious Elridge Cleaver of Black Panthers, who later became a Republican. I guess he was struck on the road to the bank. And then Van Morrison, the rock singer, he was born today. Richard Greer, who was born today. And then we had Tula, who was the transsexual in For Your Eyes Only, one of the James Bond films. Excuse me, his cold's gotten me. Suddenly we're hit. And then also in history today, Pope Paul II, I think this is the wrong pope, he excommunicated Henry VIII after Henry VIII insisted on his second marriage with Anne Boleyn. Now, when the British monarch is crowned in Westminster Cathedral, there's a phrase in the coronation ceremony which the queen, or it'll be a king next time, I guess, says, a defender of the faith. And that comes from Henry VIII. Henry VIII was quite a scholar, great musician. He was a skilled linguist. He wrote a lot of things, and he was very pro-Catholic until his personal sexual practices and gluttony came into conflict with that of his faith in the Roman Catholic Church. But they kept the faith when he started the Anglican Church, in which the king, the queen, the monarch, was the head of the church, and that's one of the phrases, defender of the faith. So it has its origin in the Roman Catholic allegiance of the British monarch, and so they kept it. And then the great inventor, Thomas Edison, invented the, what the heck is this thing called? First thing that we use for film. I may have a copy in our archives. And he patented that today. We had, Richard Basehart, Decision Before Dawn. That's the great film with Oscar Werner, 50s film. It's out on DVD now, and highly recommend it to see what happens when soldiers have their rights stripped away, although it's slightly different because of the Gestapo, they didn't have any rights anyway. And then there were German general staff officers who weren't Nazis, although they were forced to take that oath to Hitler. They tried to protect their soldiers from the predation of the SS and the Gestapo. And then in 1919, the Communist Labor Party was started in Chicago, of all places. And then in 1954, the Census Bureau was founded, and now that's the controversy so far has died down because there were allegations and accusations that the census was rigged. And then, I don't know who this guy is, but the Black Panther, Ronnie McLucas, he was convicted today in 1970. And then 1978, I remember this one, Symbionese Liberation Army people Bill and Emily Harris pleaded guilty to kidnapping Patricia Hearst. And there's a connection to the Steve Neri, Helen Ann, who was the district attorney of San Francisco, and other San Francisco politicians. It's like a web it's like the Gordian knot. You think you cut through it, and there's more. So that happened today. And then the Night Stalker, this is one case I'm thankful I had nothing to do with. He was captured in Los Angeles, and he's sitting, I think, on death row, one of many that's sitting up there at the Ninth Circuit Appellate Court here in San Francisco. It's a huge backlog of death penalty cases. There's automatic appeal to the federal courts. And it takes forever. Some of these guys have been sitting there for 25 years. Excuse me. Now, among the public policy questions, that because the schools are in such a mess and because the teachers' unions have been so infiltrated by these communists, what we call the red diaper babies or red diaper grandbabies, goes back to the turn of the century when the communists were, you had the Communist Party started in Chicago, the Communist Labor Party. These people infiltrated the schools, and it's still going on today. It's even worse because it's pedophilia now. And there's a situation in Montana. It was on Fox News about teaching kids to be gay, and parents were objecting, and they were trying to accuse them of, quote, they stopped short of accusing them of hate crime, the Caligula Law. But the question, given that we have kids who know more about how to use a condom than where to place a comma, and the public policy question that we should ask is, and I've been in the school district, public district, primarily at the radio station KLW, but I did lecture for free. Public policy questions that we should be asking, should teachers and administrators, as well as school board members, should they be evaluated every year? We have here in San Francisco, it's still one of the worst districts in the country, where this pedophile lesbian group called CUAB, Community United Against Violence, which is a phony name, we're getting $1,000 a day to go into the San Francisco public schools to teach children about gay sex, gay, lesbian, mammal sex. They're even trying to persuade children to have sex changes. You know, it's none of their damn business, and this is real predator behavior. And not only that, there's a California law which anybody who's in the schools on a regular basis should be checked out for criminal background. And none of this was done. And some of these people are into prostitution, pornography, video voyeurism. They prey on young children. So none of that was done. But these questions need to be asked, and you need to protect your children, because there have been cases where these kids have been exposed to people who had AIDS. We had a case here at the former 6th Army base, the Presidio in San Francisco, where a Captain Aquino, supposedly he was running some classes for the military dependents kids, and he supposedly infected or knew about or had a hand in infecting these young kids, and this thing was suppressed, censored and suppressed. We don't know what happened to those kids. It happened about 20 years ago. So you need to, you know, ignorance is not bliss. I've said this time and time again. And what you don't know can hurt, harm, and cost not only you, but your children and your loved ones and your friends. Now, we did get this in time, but I got it up here, and we'll deal with it Friday. The Mexican government had a controversial guide for their illegal migrants, and it laid out their rights and how to avoid questioning, which is legitimate. You know, from law enforcement to find out if these people are in the country legally and if they're involved in criminal activity. So we'll deal with that on Friday. And then another question people should ask, especially those who are in danger of losing their houses or are in a foreclosure mess that they don't have enough money to make the regular mortgage payments on property, And a lot of them shouldn't have bought it to begin with because it was overvalued for what the mortgage was on them. And these houses, I think, are going to continue to go down. I brought this up 10 years ago, but my realtor friend said, no, 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 it's going to keep going up. It's California, blah, blah, blah. Well, what went up is coming down and faster than they thought. And this is one of my fun interviews. Scott Beach was the voice of the San Francisco Symphony, and he was also did commercials. He had a great voice, and I had a program called Animal Anecdotes. Let me see what the hell it is. And here's some unusual ones, and here's Scott Beach. This one, this is a little white.
Okay. Hello, my friends. This is Peter Paul, and I'm in the newsroom of San Francisco Examiner, and I have one of their luminaries on various columns of music and art and bon vivant of life, Mr. Scott Beach. Welcome to the program, Scott.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I don't know if I'm a luminary or not. I feel a little dim just now, but, well, we'll do our best.
That's from all those night hours. Scott, what are the funny animal anecdotes in your life? You have a couple for us?
Well, gee, one of them has to do with a lion. Actually, it was a tiger. It was a Bengal tiger, about 470 pounds, according to his trainer. And I did a commercial for Macy's several years ago, and we did it at Marine World Africa, USA. And my job was to sell mattresses. And I was dressed up in a dark blue three-piece suit, very respectable looking. And I was seated cross-legged on a mat out there. And they had this tiger named Naji. And Naji's job was to come out and lay his head down in my lap. And his trainer, Peter Gross, brought him out with a leash to him and lay Naji down with a yank and on this chain. And he was huge. His head was as big as two basketballs. And his teeth were gigantic and his claws looked like pickaxes. And he told me what I must do is just give a downward yank on the chain and Naji would lay his head down in my lap, which he did. And then, while I did the copy in the commercial, Naji would, if you stroke the whiskers with the tips of your fingers on the side of his face, he'll growl slowly. He'll go, and then if you grab those whiskers and jiggle them vigorously, he'll really roar. Well, I thought, okay. And then he said, there's one thing you must not let him do. And I said, what's that? He said, don't let him open his mouth. And I said, how in the world am I going to stop him? And he said, just slap him on the nose with a good sharp slap like that and say, no, Naji. I thought, well, the man must be crazy, but if he knows his business, I guess, all right. So we sat down there, and Naji came, and I yanked his chain, and he lay his huge head down in my lap. Now, mind you, he was 11 or 12 feet long from nose to the tip of his tail, but there he was. And I did my commercial, and while I was doing it, I had the lines to do like, isn't that right, Naji? And he went, blah, 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 as I stroked his whiskers. And then at the end, I was supposed to say, what do you really think of this mattress, Naji? And I grabbed his whiskers and gave him a jiggle, and he went, blah. And it was just this gigantic roar. Well, then he looked up at me with his mouth wide open. And I thought, nope. And I slapped him on the nose, and I said, no, Naji. And he lay his head down. Okay, then the commercial was over, and they took him away, and I noticed that the crotch of my dark blue pants was covered with his slobber, and I had to wear them in a job the next day. So I went to Meter's Cleaners here in San Francisco late that afternoon, and I said, I have an emergency here. These pants, I have to get them fixed up and cleaned. And by the way, that's tiger slobber. And the lady looked at me, and her eyes never even dilated. She said, oh, of course, sir. I'm sure she went in the back room and said, you know, have I got a live one out here? But they cleaned out the tiger slobber in my pants.
With the prices that they charged, they should have.
Yeah, that was probably one of my favorite animal experiences I've ever had in my life. He was a very nice, tractable pussycat. You know, he weighed as much as two VWs, but... that was a fine experience I had with him.
You had another one where you did a commercial. It seems like your best adventures are with commercials or are in commercials. What about the animal that bit you, or did you bite the animal?
Well, actually, the animal bit me only lightly. What it really did was step on me. That was the worst. I was doing a commercial for the Bay Area, Northern California, Ford dealers several years ago. And the idea was that I would play the part of a gold prospector, and I would be panning for gold, and my donkey or my mule would be standing nearby. And I would pan the key to a Ford automobile, all kind of a gold-looking key. And then I would run up to the animal and hug it around the neck and say, "We struck it rich," and so on. And then the last scene would show me driving off in my beautiful Ford car with my donkey now in a trailer behind it. And I did just what I was told. I had my beard on and my crusty old clothes and my boots and my funny hat. And I panned out this key and then ran up to the mule and showed it to her and hugged her around the neck, and she nibbled me on the arm a little bit. It wasn't a bad bite, it was just a little nibble. But then she very calmly stepped on my right foot with her left forefoot, and she didn't just step on it, she broke it. And you know, she just very in a loving, affectionate way broke my foot. And I'm standing there trying to keep going with the commercial, and I was in terrible pain. And finally, I managed to get her to move, and she got off of me, and I finished the commercial, whereupon I just collapsed in pain. And nobody could understand what was quite the matter with me, because the way the thing was set up, they couldn't see my feet. And I said, "She broke my foot." She, you know, I could hear it break when she stepped on me. And so, well, that, you know, she was a very lovely animal. She had big eyes. And she was very friendly, I'm sure, and she didn't want to break my foot. It just happened that's where her foot came down.
Maybe it was a comment on a commercial.
I think so. I've never heard of a donkey buying a Ford.
They know more than people. How did you file your disability claim for that?
It wasn't a problem. The company involved helped me out, and they even sent a lawyer to me to make sure that everything was all right. So it was no problem.
Or perhaps you forgot the lump of sugar, or what do you give donkeys?
Oh, golly, I didn't have anything to give her, like a carrot or something. She went after my beard at one time, but it was not very edible.
It wasn't cotton candy.
No, not cotton candy. It was store-bought hair.
Thanks, Scott, for being on the program.
Okay, good luck.
Our next one we have...
Oh, my friend, this is Peter Paul, and I'm in the newsroom of San Francisco Examiner, and I have...
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. We will be playing an interview from Valerie, who worked with Radio Moscow. She married an Australian diplomat, we were talking about, jokingly, what do the Russians feed their dogs? And they don't feed them Purina. It's quite interesting. And some of the laws are draconian. She didn't talk about... a dog biting a commissar or an NKVD or any of that, or KGB. But one woman was sent to prison because her dog did bite a cop, Moscow police. It's a fascinating interview. It's about 8-9 minutes, and we edited it, and we'll play that Friday. I think I'll be over my cold, I hope. Sudden change in the weather. Excuse me. The other thing you ought to be thinking about, folks, is that in every city, and San Francisco is one of the worst. When I went to Washington in the 90s as a representative of senior citizens who were victims of an attempted assassination by a hitman who was brought into San Francisco from Manila to silence these veterans or even intimidate them because they were complaining about this Garcia crime family, which took over a housing, HUD-subsidized senior housing project, which was worth millions, and forged real estate documents, intimidation, harassed a senior citizen woman, she had a heart attack, all kinds of things, extorting money. Well, anyway, they said that San Francisco, they got more complaints about San Francisco than any other place in the country, and I think that's still true. It's one of the We believe it's one of the most corrupt, if not the most corrupt, city in America. Excuse me. It takes forever to check on these things by the federal government. But anyway, these projects all over the country, housing projects, and we're seeing more and more people who are eligible or should be eligible who can't get in. And there have been Russians who mysteriously, they have stiff backs doing their ex Russian military, or even they may even be KGB retired. We have all kinds of strange people, and I mentioned the Garcia family from the Philippines, crime family. So, you know, this is what's happening, that this stock of affordable, low-income housing has been co-opted and hijacked by these by people like the ACORN, that Tony organization, and Saul Alinsky and his group. In fact, they set up here in San Francisco, and we'll get into that in another program, excuse me, and expose how they've ruined these projects. And I think in a program earlier, it's up on my Amicus Veritas, AmiCusVerichas, YouTube site, where one of these projects in San Francisco is Tenderloin, this outfit, Chinese Community Housing, which was the operators are connected to Hong Kong pornographers who make what we call the sweat, grunt, and groan porno films. And children were allegedly sexually abused, senior citizens. But anyway, the operator of this outfit got this housing project, a hotel, and he got rehab money, he got site acquisition money, and then rental monies, and then vacancy. The little room was vacant. They got paid by HUD and, of course, American taxpayers. Well, what happened was somebody went to work undercover there as a manager and found out all kinds of funky things were going on. And we got some records, and the most interesting one was of the first black head of HUD Region 9, a guy named Robert B. Pitts. And he died in 1982, yet he was, in his name, checks were being issued in 1997. And so that article was called, Do Dead People Get Homeless Assistance Programs? And all kinds of scams are going on, kickbacks, and this is one of the reasons why where all the housing has gone is the racketeers, the real estate racketeers, have ripped them off. So that's up there on Amicus Veritas YouTube. And also we've got some educational clips, film clips, on how we keep hearing about the Mexicans and the South Americans coming through our southern border. We don't hear anything about what's going on at the Canadian border. That's happened, too. And not we have a problem of terrorists coming through. But the Chinese have been coming in here illegally, and they were charged huge sums of money. Children, teenage boys were crammed into the holds of these banana boats, practically tramp steamers, and took excuse me, 2-3 weeks to come across the ocean, and they owe money. I mean, they're, in effect, Asian slaves. And in this film clip, we see what happens, and this actually happened, when the Coast Guard tries to intercept a suspected a mule, Asian mule in the Pacific. They dump these people overboard. So we'll have that as soon as it's edited down. And some more on how illegal aliens are getting the housing that Americans should be getting. This is part of the problem with where all the housing gone, and it's gone to people who are not qualified and shouldn't get it, but are. So, excuse me. So, that's coming. And then we'll have some practical tips. For instance, nobody's talking about how the vote fraud. They expected the Republicans to sweep, but I remind people who are not familiar with American history, this confidence is frightening. In the Wilson Charles Evan Hughes election, it was a national election back at the turn of the century, Mr. Hughes went to bed. He was the Chief Justice of the United States, went to bed thinking he was elected president, and then the votes came in from California, and Wilson had won that election. And then we had the Tom Dewey 1948 election, where Truman was the pollsters, and George Gallup, whose name has been invoked, was wrong that Harry Truman won that election. So we need to be very careful and on guard, because it's more sophisticated now. And what's happened in Houston has not been reported, that the warehouse where the voting machines were had been destroyed. So are they going to be able to get voting machines in time for the November election? So this is where we're at. And I hope that you pay attention because, you know, it's the most precious thing we have is an honest election on what there are of them. And so let's end with a little bit of this.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bet.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too. Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year. Big Ace.
Ace bet.
Good night, people. Mind is cold.
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight. Possible flush. Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.